offer today, all right? If you believe in your heart, you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Amen? Now, there's some promises in there. Jesus said, I go to make you a place, to prepare for you a place. And if I go, I will come again, that you can be with me. Praise God for that. Amen? That there is a promise through the Word of God that we will have a union, a coming together, a reuniting with Jesus Christ someday. Amen? Are you happy about it? Amen? Hey, I tell you, you are closer today than you were yesterday. Amen. It is coming. It is closer. And the closer we get, the more excited I become. I'm like a little puppy beat myself to death with my own tail. I can't wait. I can't wait for that day to come. But until that day, we have some things, right? We're facing some trials right now. We're facing some persecutions. There are some things that are unveiling before us in our day and time that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you might want to get scared. Right, you might want to be afraid, all right. But if you do know Jesus Christ, it's time for us not to be ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
It's time for us to be embraced, emboldened, and empowered by the Holy Ghost to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Amen. It's time for us who are born again to do like the homosexuals did a few years ago and to come out of the closet. Amen. There's a whole lot of closet Christians, all right. And it's time that the Christians stop being ashamed of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? It's time for us to start proclaiming His love, His grace, His mercy.
Yes.
It's time for us to start loving people in the middle of the mess.
Amen.
Amen. Right. This world is about ready to get real messy. I mean, we're in a time right now that if you don't know the Lord, you might be afraid. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who claim to know Jesus as their personal Savior, and they're still afraid. Be brave. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
Amen. I am with you now. I was with you yesterday. I'll be with you tomorrow, Jesus. He has you.
Yeah.
And He wants you to know that He is in control.
Amen.
With everything. Amen. Now it's going to get messy, right? It's going to get messy. There's going to be some things happening to those who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior that won't look pleasant. They won't feel pleasant. Take a deep breath. Trust God. All right? We live by faith,
amen,
not by sight. Right?
Amen.
The just shall live,
amen,
by faith. All right? So we need to hold on to those things. Because if I just look around, if I only hear what the media is telling me, there doesn't look like there's any hope.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but God.
We have hope.
Amen. Amen. What's my two favorite words in the whole Bible? But God. Amen. Things are looking bad, but God is still on the throne. Things look hard, but God.
Amen.
He told us these times would be coming.
Yeah.
He started a long time ago and letting us know. We need to keep looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Look for that blessed hope in the midst of these times of darkness. Over the last several weeks, the Lord laid on my heart to start teaching about the rising of the little horn that Daniel saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that happens during the 70th week of Daniel. And the prophecy that was given to Daniel was for the Hebrew people. It was. But before he starts working with the Hebrew people, he's going to chasten the church. Those who are called by the name of Jesus Christ. Those who have trusted Him as their Lord and Savior. This little horn, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, this wicked one. In the Old Testament, there's 33 different titles for this character. In the New Testament, there's 13 different titles for this character. So he's mentioned throughout the Word of God. But that's okay. I don't need to know his name, because I know the name. The name of the Most High God, right? I'm not overly concerned about what's going to happen in this world. This is not where my hope lies. Although I'm here, I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world.
Amen.
I got a blessed hope through Jesus Christ. I got a hope of the resurrection. I got a hope that in the Word of God, we are more than conquerors. Amen?
That's right.
All right? But in any battle, there's wounded, there's hurting, there's fear. So as we see this little horn rising, what should we do? Walk by faith, you know. Like I said, over these last 2 weeks, I've attempted to help lay open or open our understanding to this new world leader, this new world order that Daniel saw and knew as the little horn. The reality is that the church will also see his rise. We're going to see him come up, and we're also going to feel his wrath. And a lot of folks may have been brought up or taught, I know that I was, that before any of these things happen, that the church will be caught up, would be raptured out of here, and we wouldn't face any of this stuff. Did anybody tell you that? Did you ever believe that?
I was
taught that, and I went to Liberty Bible Institute, and the professors taught me that. All right, I went through it online. I didn't go to the place. I did it through Open Door Baptist Church, and so I went through there. But all of their doctrine, all of their stuff says, don't worry about it, church. You don't have nothing to worry about. You trust that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And before any of these things happen, all of a sudden you're going to start floating up in the air, and you're going to be caught up to Jesus, and you'll never see. Don't worry about it. So go ahead and live like hell. Right? I hate to put it that way, but that's what I was taught. That's what I was taught to believe.
Amen.
But God, through the studying of his word and through maybe coming to some understanding what the Lord says, there'll come a time that this Antichrist is going to come against the people of God, mm-hmm. us, the church. And we need to hold on to him. And I want you to know that this is not my thoughts, all right? This is plain in the word of God. If you'll open your Bibles to the Revelation, all right? Chapter 13, that's the last book in the Bible, so if you open your Bibles, it starts in Genesis, go to the other end of the book, all right? If you get to the end of the book and have like a lot of titles and names and stuff like that, you've gone too far. Back up just a couple pages, you should be in the book of Revelation, all right? And chapter 13, starting in verse 7, last week we went through verse 1 over to verse 7, but this week we're going to look a little bit deeper into it. In verse 7 it says, it was given unto him, talking about the Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and all tongues and all nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. All right, so here just this little bit of scripture. All right, it makes a couple of clear divisions. There's those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all right? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yeah.
Amen? All right, so I'm talking to the church here, all right? I'm talking to the Ecclesia, those who know Him as their Lord and God. We don't have anything to worry about, you know, not on the spiritual side. Now, it does say that this man, he's going to make war with the saints. Who are the saints? Those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those who have trusted him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus talked about a great persecution that would come. And from what I see right now with the present situation in the world, that there is coming a persecution that the world has not seen since Jesus was on the earth. Even before that. See, before that, there would be little places, pockets of persecution. The Romans, they persecuted the Christians, or the Islamics, they persecute the Christians. But those are in small pockets. This persecution is going to be across the globe, from one side all the way to the other. And anyone who is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you really ain't got a lot to worry about. But everybody who does, our flesh is going to be put to the test. Jesus said in the last days what he's going to do is he's going to send his angels to the earth and he's going to separate the tares from the wheat. Mm-hmm. All right? In that parable in Matthew chapter 13, it talks about the sower went out and he sowed in his field and he sowed good seed in his field, right? But the enemy came in at the same time, or that evening, and started sowing tares in amongst the wheat. And they grew together until the end of time, or until the end of the dispensation of time, until the end of the Gentiles, they grew together. Right? And then Jesus said, I will send my angels, and I'll separate the tares from the wheat. So I'm supposed to, if you're a tare, ain't none of my business. All right? If I'm a tare, it ain't none of your business. We're supposed to grow together until the end. And Jesus will make a, he will send his angels, and he'll make a division between who's really on Jesus' side and who's not.
That's right.
All right? And the ones who are not, he'll gather them to be burned. And the ones that are, he will gather them into a barn, into his barn. So, all right, we see that there's a division coming up. Or we might even be in the midst of the division right now. All right? We could be in the dividing sections right now. Do you really believe what you say you believe is real? All right? If you do, then there should be a faith that we're living by and not a sight that we're consumed by. Right? There's so many churches that are closed across America, across the world, because of, as Trump says, it's an invisible scourge. All right? I ain't afraid of something invisible. I'm not. I'm not worried about that. I am in Christ Jesus, and it's okay. Right? It's okay. I've been talking about this for several weeks. Every one of us are going to die. All right? Take a deep breath. If you were born, you will live a life, and then at the end of that life, you will breathe your last breath. And you will go to the God whom you have served. All right? You're either going to go to Jesus Christ and the God, the Father, the Creator of all the heavens and the earth, or you're going to go to the one who said, I will set my throne above the Most High. Satan, Lucifer, that serpent of old, if you want to call him that. Right? You'll go there. But that's your choice. It's none of my business. All right? My business is proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. And the sooner, the closer we get to that day is more important than it was the day before. Mm-hmm. Every day we get closer, it's more important that we forsake not the assembly of each other, as the manner of some has. I have seen over the last years, not just a little while, but years, a falling away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We, as in the church, have been hearing other gospels, there's been other testaments, there's been other things being preached in behind the pulpits, but where the man of God should be standing. All right, some of y'all might not agree with that, but it is for a man to preach the gospel. All right, and it's written that way for a reason. But that's a different stump I'll jump on another day. All right, but it's for us to boldly proclaim that day, that time. And it's also for us to be that watchman on the wall. All right? And we are in a time right now, in a season, in a dispensation, coming to the end of the time of the Gentiles. And we need people who know the Word of God to be willing to stand and sound the alarm. All right? Now, I can't help it if you won't hear. I can't help it if the world doesn't hear. That's not my job to make them hear. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, God moves over a man, and that man can be saved. If God doesn't move over the man, he can't be saved. So all of that doesn't belong to me. That belongs to him. My job is to blow the trumpet. So, all right? We are blowing the trumpet that we are closer to the exposing, to the revealing of this Antichrist, this little horn, this son of perdition, this wicked one. We're closer now than we've ever been. And know this, that when he comes, it tells us in the Revelation that he's going to make war with the saints and overcome them. Are you prepared for that? Okay? The way that anybody ever prepares to do something that is very difficult, all right? I'm not a runner, right? I would rather stand and fight. But there are those who like to run, right? You see them all the time. They get out on the highway. They're running from one town to another. And all, praise God for those folks. If nobody's chasing me, I ain't running. Okay, that ain't happening. But if I was going to run, I would go through a time of preparation. And if I was going to run, say, a marathon or half a marathon or from here to the car, that's the length of my running, I would prepare myself. I would start running, and I would run twice as far as what I had to run. So I would know that whatever the end of the race was, I would have enough preparation, enough gas in my tank to get from where I am to where I'm going. All right? Now, I hope that we all do get raptured before any of this stuff happens. I praise God. I would love that to happen. But if not, I want to be prepared to run the full race. Right? I want to have all of the preparation. I want to have all the scripture. I want to have all the faith that I'm going to need to get from the beginning all the way to the end. And if I get caught out in the beginning, praise God for that. If I get caught out in the middle of it, praise God for that. If I have to wait to the very end of it, I will be prepared for all of that. All right? Because I don't know when the day of the Lord is coming.
Yes.
I don't know whether it's going to be in the morning or in the noon or in the evening. I don't know. So what I need to be is prepared. I need to be prepared to run from the beginning all the way to the end, that my faith won't run out halfway. For instance, if you were on a track and you were running in a circle like those people do, and they have like sticks in their hand every once in a while, I would run away from that person. I think they call that a relay, right? So they run with a baton and they're going sticks. And I said, they should say, running with sticks. Anyhow, but you need to have all of the preparation, right, to do that. Now, if you started that race and you only ran half of it and you said, that's too far, I'm quitting, what reward do you get? Is there any reward for those who quit? Those who stop, right? We're not those who fall back. We're those who persevere, right? I'm going to push towards the high calling of Christ. Because my faith is in Him, not in this world. I know that through His power, through His love, through His grace, we will get from where we are to where we need to be. Now, it goes into verse 10, which might be a little confusing to some in Revelation 13. Y'all understand the first from 7 through 9? You understand that? Pretty easy, alright? Those who dwell on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life, they're going to worship the Antichrist. It's just going to happen. But those who are written in the Lamb's book of life, you will not be fooled. He who has an ear, let him understand. So before I get to the next part, do you have ears?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. So now we can move on. All right? Because if not, I would park there and we would settle and we'd talk about that all day. Because that's very important for the church to know. But he that leadeth into captivity will go into captivity. So the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to lead some into captivity. Do you know that? All right, but where's he going to end up?
In
captivity. All right, praise God. He that killeth with the sword, what's going to end up? He must be killed by the sword. All right, so praise God. So there's victory in both of those. Now, he might lead us into captivity for a time. All right? That's okay. Because he's going to ultimately be cast into captivity. He's ultimately going to be cast into the lake of fire. He's ultimately going to be, actually for 1,000 years, locked into a dungeon. Right? And where the peace of God will rule on the earth. Ultimately, that's where he's going. So if he leads me into captivity for 3.5 or 7 years, it's all right. It's okay. All right, are you prepared for that? This Antichrist, when he comes against the saints of the Lord, he comes against those who are born again, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes against you, be prepared, right? Be prepared. Because we know the end of the story. We know that God is in charge of all of these things. He's going to put some into captivity. He's going to kill some with the sword. That's okay. He is in the, and this is the patience and the faith of the saints. So if you're prepared for that, this shows who you really are.
Right.
This is your patience. This is your faith. All right. I'm prepared in my mind, in my spirit. I have scripture memorized. Who here's working on memorizing scripture? Start. start. Because there could very well come a day really, really soon where this book is illegal in America.
Yeah.
Well, actually, even more frightening than that, there's, and I know some of y'all read the other translations of the Bible, but I truly believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the version that was meant for the American peoples. Okay? Anyone speaking English, and a lot of folks say, well, the King James too hard to read. Study harder. All right? Oh, the bar is too high. I can't reach it. Exercise until you can get to the bar. All right? It is the level. Because when I started reading, see, Jack Run, that was too hard. What if I would have quit there? You've never learned how to read. So you struggle and you work with the hard words, right? And then you get past that. Who here has a Strong's Concordance? Or any kind of concordance, right? A dictionary. It's not hard to get, man. They sell them like everywhere. You can even get them on secondhand on eBay. So if you don't want to get a brand new one, you can get a used one. As long as the dog didn't eat it and the important words are gone, you're good. Amen, sister? Right. And so anyhow, don't be suckered in that it's too hard for me to understand, so I'm going to go with some other version of the Bible. Come back to the Word of God, learn the Word of God, study the Word of God, that you would not be fooled.
Don't forget to pray for the Spirit to reveal.
Amen. Yeah, you got to have this. Well, if you're born again, God gives us that promise, that Comforter, that Paracletus, He's going to live, they're going to make their abode in us, and He's going to guide us into 90% of the truth.
Amen.
No, that's a lie. He's going to lead us into all truth. Amen? It's all truth, not 90%. He's going to bring us from where we are all the way to where we need to be. Amen? So sometimes I throw this little curveball, see if I get somebody to swing at them. Oh, it's, yeah. And so anyway,
no, man.
And so, but anyhow, so study the real Word of God. All right? And I'm not here to kick around the NIV, but I'm going to because it's a real simple target. The NIV, they took out 4,500 words. All right? They took out the deity of Christ 130 times. All right? And just on those two points alone, that would steer me away from the nearly inspired version of the Bible. NIV, that's what it stands for, nearly inspired. I want the fully inspired version of the Word of God, right? Now, I'm not saying that the King James is absolutely 100% perfect, but it is 99.9% perfect. And I wasn't going to get into this, but I don't know, there's folks here, and the Spirit of God is really laying on my heart to encourage you to read the Word of God and to memorize it. Because there is coming a time in America that this isn't going to be with us.
Amen.
Right? And we need to have the Word of God in our hearts. So, I chased that rabbit down the hole, Lord. Can I get back? Okay. I'm going to get back. And so, this is a great truth, all right, that the saints must be prepared not just to go into, but go through. Jesus never said that He will deliver you out of the problem, but He will go with you through the problem, right? He goes with you through the desert. He goes with you through the valley. It's easy to praise God on a mountaintop. It really is. But when it gets down and dirty, when you don't have money, when you don't have food, when you don't have your liberties and freedoms, when they say the only way that you can worship is worship a God made by man, and you say, no, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not going to bow the knee when you play the flute or the harp. I'm not doing that. I'm going to worship God even if, and before everybody, like Daniel did. I'm opening up the blinds of my house, and still, three times a day, I'm going to worship God, even if you throw me into the den of lions. It's okay. We got to be willing to get to that point in our psyche that our body will be able to do it. So this is the part of this little horn rising is to understand that those days are fastly approaching. 1 Thessalonians, amen, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, like I said, I don't know the times, I don't know the seasons, but I do know that we're closer today than we've ever been.
Amen.
All right, we'll get into some of those points in a little bit. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Mm-hmm. For when they say, peace and safety, and sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Amen? Ye are not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. When it's in italics, that's added for our understanding. All right? So, but as others. But let us watch and be sober. That means clear-minded, be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do. All right? So, in those little bit of scriptures right there, in that thing, look at what Paul is saying. He's telling the church, listen, I don't know what time Jesus is coming, but he's coming. Right? So, we need to be prepared. All right? And you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord, he comes as a thief in the night. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 24. He says, listen, I'm going to come, but when I come, it'll be like you never knew it was coming. It'll be like it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and then all of a sudden, the door was shut, the flood came, and the only ones who survived was Noah, his sons, and their wives. Everybody else drowned in the flood. Everything else drowned in the flood, except for the animals of clean and the animals that God brought, the two of every type and then seven of the clean. Everything else on the earth drowned. And so it will be as it was in the days of Noah. We need to be awake that there's somebody building an ark. Amen? Because the judgment is coming. We, the church, we need not to be asleep. We don't need to be drunk. We don't need to be sucked off by some other worldly stuff. We need to be prepared.
Amen.
Because the day is coming. When they say peace and safety, trust me, I'm the government. I'm here to help. Okay? Don't worry about this stuff. There's a virus among you, and there is a virus among you, and there are people dying. Don't worry. I got the antidote. I got a vaccine. And when I get you this vaccine, woo, boy, you're going to be good to go. Straight to hell. They forgot to leave. That's like that NIV. They take part of the Bible out. Right? So you're good to go. They forget to add straight to hell. Right? And you might be saying, well, a vaccine's not going to send me to hell. Hold on a minute. There's some things, all right, you know I'm not a big computer fan, but I did look this up. For this new virus, all right, this is easy to find. If I can find it on the entire net, that means it's pretty much on the first page. All right, y'all can look it up for yourself. There's a microchip that's going to be in the new vaccine. All right? In the Revelation, the next part talks about there's the Antichrist, and then there's the false prophet that's going to have you worship the beast and take the mark of his name. Couple things that need to pop in our mind real quick for our day right now. There's a House ruling, a House in the House of Representatives. It's called an HR when a new... There you go. And it's 6666. It's the number of the House resolution. And it is... If this thing is passed, let me tell you what it does in a nutshell real quick. It allows the governments to force their way into your home and to test you for the COVID-19. even if you don't want to be tested, we're coming into your house and we're going to force you to take this test. When they force you to take that test, if they find anybody who has any remnants or part of the COVID virus in them, it gives them the authority to take you or your children out of the home and put you anywhere they want to put you, whether you want to go or not. That ought to send shockwaves up and down your spine, church.
Right.
All right, now, as I'm telling you this, let me tell you the other side. There's a fellow, the co-founder of Microsoft. Y'all know what his name?
Bill Gates.
All right, we all know who this guy is. And he will launch a human implantation capsules that have the digital certificates. All right, he just admitted this 3 or 4 days ago. He called it the final solution. All right? The fellow who called it, he called it the final solution, and the man who was interviewing him said, you might want to call it something different.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so anyhow, he calls it the final solution. And this was done on Read It, Ask Me Anything session, all right, about the pandemic, the And Gates was responded to the question, and he will made an operating system maintaining social distance that said, eventually we will all have digital certificates to show who has recovered or who has been recently tested or has the vaccine, who has received it. This digital certification Gates was referring to is called quantum dot tattoos. It was figured out by MIT and the Rice University. They've been working on this thing for years. It will hold the vaccination records. It was this past December just before this new virus came out, past December when the scientists from the two universities revealed that they were working on these quantum dot tattoos. After Bill Gates approached them about solving the problem of identifying COVID-19, all right, in December, he said, you need to understand this. How did anybody know these things were going on? Anyhow, so he did these things, and how would we identify those who had not been vaccinated? That was the question, how will we fix it? The dot tattoos were the ones that came up. The quantum dot tattoos involve applying dissolving sugar-based micro needles with nanotechnology. That's what it's called. They have micro needles with nanotechnology that is in them that contain the vaccine and a fluorescent carbon-based quantum dots embedded inside a bio. I'm not good with big words. And so anyhow, they have the technology here. And in that, he called it ID 2020. Mm. All right? The name of the whole project is Identification 2020. And they figured this out a while back, how they were going to do it. In this ID 2020 with the RFID microchip implants made by the Gates Foundation, it has a birth control chip in it. It has all of your ID in it. It's combined with four other companies that came along, and it's AccuTrue, IDEO, and Gavi, and the Rockefeller Foundation. Now, this stuff is, if I can find it, you can find it. Do not be deceived. All right? Don't be deceived. They are coming to force you to take the mark of the beast.
Luciferous.
Wow. Okay, so I'm not the only person who came across this last couple weeks. All right.
Oh, no. And so, we're watching. The patent is 06-06-06.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, while we're there, I hope you kept your finger in the Revelation. Turn back to 13. Okay, starting in the next portion, verse 11. All right, so if I haven't woken you up yet, be prepared to open your eyes. All right? Because this is what was prophesied that would happen in a time somewhere off in the future, hundreds of years before microchips were ever thought of. Hundreds of years before the internet was ever thought of. Hundreds of years before Facebook meant anything outside facing the book. Right? So this was prophesied and it was foretold. Verse 11 of chapter 13. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he spoke, and he had two horns like a lamb. Sounds pretty peaceful. That sounds so sweet and nice. He looked like a baby lamb, with two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all power of the first beast that was before him, and caused the earth and them that which dwell in to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, and that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of man. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and that they should make an image unto the beast which had the womb, which had the womb. Now see, and the problem is I memorized this from another version of the Bible. Right? And so in my mind, it keeps trying to force those extra words out there. But I also know that there's a warning in this very book. If I add to or take away from the Word of God, my name will be stricken from the Lamb's Book of Life. So I want to be really careful. All right? I fear God. I really do fear God. And I trust Him what He says. And so anyhow, the image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast and the and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. All right? Now, hold on real quick. So there's the Antichrist, and then there's his sidekick. There's Batman and Robin. All right? So Batman comes on the scene. Batman, right? And he's there. And he's doing all of these great works. He's causing peace. He's in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. He's that first rider, right, of the apocalypse, of the four horses, horsemen that come riding. He's riding a white horse, and he has a crown, which indicates authority. And he has a bow. Now, that bow is the word taxon, T-O-X-O-N. This is the only time that word is mentioned in the Word of God. All right? So when you're thinking bow, don't think of cowboys and Indians. Think of a sash. It means a simple sash. It means a sign of a governmental authority. All right? So this guy is riding on the white horse. Who rides a white horse? Good guys do, don't they? Every Western I ever saw, a good guy rode a white horse, had a white hat. Right? So this guy comes on the scene looking like a good guy. In fact, he doesn't even have any weapons with him. He has authority and he's talking great things. Peace and safety. Trust me. I'm the government. Just take this little shot and it'll all be okay. Just a scenario. Just a thought. Okay? So anyhow, back to this second beast. All right? And the second one that comes up, he did great wonders, right? He did great wonders. He was making fire come down from heaven, right, in the face of all men. So he has some authority on the earth. He's doing some things that would blow your mind. He even made the image of the beast speak. Now, Siri, tell me where I'm at. The image of the beast talking to you in your own living room, watching everything you do, everything you say. Your smartphone, which I, as you've heard me say a thousand times, smartphones make dumb people, right? And I know everybody's into that technology. And so many people who are born again, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, I will not take the mark of the beast. But we're already playing in his playground.
That's right.
We're already there, right? And we have been deceived for. Well, when did the first they weren't smartphones, they were brick phones, right, in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. First cellular phones are in the house when you weren't connected by the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I grew up, there was a phone hanging on the wall in the kitchen, And we had a long cord. Brother Bill, you could only go as far as the cord went, right? They wrapped around the head, they got twisted up, all that kind of stuff. And then they came out with the antenna phones, right? You could walk anywhere unless you got outside the house for a few feet. And then they came up with pagers, right, where you could be called anytime, but you still had to go to a land-based phone. And then after that, they came up with the brick phones, you know, you held in your car. I had one of those when I first started Florence Place. Now, I was proud of it. Dude, and I could talk on my phone in the car. Boy, I was good. And then after that, started these cell phone things, right, the flippies and all that kind of stuff. And now look at where phones have gone. Everything you want to know, you can find on your phone, right? The beast is talking to us. And he came in very, like a lamb. He came in very subtle. He came in a little bit here, a little bit there. And he got so many folks sucked into this thing. Anyhow, he says that he has power to call down from heaven. He has power to make the image of the beast. That it could speak and cause many that should not worship the image of the beast that should be killed. Okay? So it comes down, if you don't worship the beast, they're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's real simple here. Church, don't think this doesn't mean you. All right? Because the world's going to worship the beast, right? Because they don't know anything else. They don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. They don't know what truth is. They go by the just the facts of what they think are. You know, they go by their natural instincts. So he says that he'll worship the beast, that they should be killed. And he will cause all, both small, great, rich, and poor, free and bound to receive the mark in their right hands or their foreheads. All right? I just talked to you about what Bill Gates is planning, along with the MIT, and along with those other colleges, and along with the Rockefeller Institute. This mark, now this might not be this mark, but it definitely is a mark, right? I'm not saying that this is it, because I don't know when the day or the hour is going to happen. I can't say. I don't have the authority. But I do see some things that are happening in the world that were around us that's making my hair stand up. Right? It's not because I like a flat top, which is grown out because barbershops are illegal. And so...
Walmart's not.
Right? Walmart's not. Yeah, all the liquor stores are open, but you can't go to church. And so anyhow, thinking about that type of thing, how quick was it that the people of the earth voluntarily went into captivity?
Quickly.
3 days. Took 3 days for this thing to go across and the government to tell you across the world that you're going to die unless you do this. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people are going to die. Actually, like I told you at the beginning, you're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets out of this life alive. Right? So suck it up, buttercup. It's going to happen, right? Don't worry about these things. You're going to pass away, right? Whether it be in a truck accident or whether it be the virus. A lot of folks say, well, I'm not going to come to church because, well, actually what they're saying, they may not verbally say this, but what they're living like is I have more authority than God because what I do is going to determine somebody else's life or death. God is sovereign. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Amen?
Amen?
Appointed means that there is a time, right? So if you are under your bed, in your house, surrounded by cellophane and plastic wrap, and your number's up, you're going to die.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. Alright, so a lot of folks say, well, it's what I do and what I don't do. No. No, if it's not your day to die, if your number has not come up, and you put a shotgun on your forehead, squeeze the trigger, you won't die.
Amen.
All right? And I've heard of people, I don't know them, I only know one guy that did that, and he died, it was his day. You know, but anyway, what I'm saying is, it comes a time, and when that time comes, you won't live 1 second past that, you won't live a second before it. When the time is up, it's up. And we, as the body of Christ, have been suckered into this fear thing. But did God give us a spirit of fear?
No.
No. All right? He gave us a sound mind to know the times that we're living in. I don't believe that we have the power of life and death. I really don't. I think that God controls all of that.
Amen.
You know, and I praise God for that. And he says, when you take this mark, you receive the mark in your right hand or in your forehead, that no man can buy or sell, save that he have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here's wisdom to him that understands. Count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. All right? Now, take this. It's the number of an individual. It's the number of a man. Right? And that number is 603:6. 666. We've already looked at some things. This is the only generation since the creation of the world that we have the ability to number every single human on the planet. And now we have not just the ability, but the way to do it. Up until December, we'll say, of last year, we didn't have the technology of the nanotechnology to have a stamp that you could stick on your hand made of sugar that would penetrate the skin and give you an identification marker. I'm not saying that that is this, but I'm saying that this that we're experiencing is really close to that.
Right.
All right? This being able to buy and sell. They would not let me go into Home Depot without a mask on my face. Right? Because they were afraid I was going to get sick or I was going to give somebody else a disease. Now, after the mask phase is phased out, you know, because it's going to, because they have face recognition. Everybody know about that? That they cannot recognize you when you're like this. They need all of this to recognize who you are. So to recognize who you are, they're going to have to have you take the mask off. So what are they going to need to identify whether you've been vaccinated or not?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need a chip. A chip that can be figured out by your smartphone. Because it talks to the God and the little God, right? It talks to the beast. The powers that be behind the scenes. All right? Now, we need to look at this. There's powers that exist that we don't see. We war not against.
Right. Amen.
Thank you. Help me with that scripture because it's there. Powers and principalities. But it is in the heavenly places that stuff is. It's in the air. So, what is the church to do? Right? Thank you, sister. Starts with F and ends in A. Faith. We got to have this deep understanding of who God is. All right? You got to believe that God is absolutely in control and that He cares for you and nothing that is formed against you will prosper. And it might cost you your life to make that stand. Amen. And it very well, and we might be on the precipices of this time where what we're doing right now, church, is illegal, and they have the law to tell them that they can come and stop us from doing this.
Yeah.
Anathema. Right? Anathema. Let this be damned. The government should not have the authority to tell me what I can buy, what I cannot buy. The government shouldn't tell me whether I have to wear a mask or not. Right? The government shouldn't have the ability to control whether I come to worship or not. The only reason the government has that control is because we allow it to happen. We humbled ourselves. We bent our knee before the beast. A lot of folks don't like to hear that. Jesus said the way to righteousness is very narrow and few find it.
Right?
But it's broad. Broad is the way to damnation. Broad is it. Y'all heard me say this before. before, if you've ever heard me preach, there's a stairway to heaven, but there's a highway to hell.
Yeah.
Right? And that's because I'm a child of the 60s. Jesus. Right? Page one. We need to wake up. We need to be prepared. All right? The next steps are going to be really, really difficult. All right? And I pray, Lord, that we won't have to go through this. But from what I see in the Scripture, I see the church going through this time. I personally don't want to see this Antichrist rise up and really control the world system. But from what I see in the Scripture, he's going to. And there will be a catching away. Amen. There is a rapture. There's a time that the church will be called out of here. Glory to God. But be prepared to struggle before it comes. Right?
Amen.
We need to be ready. And praise God. I pray that it happens before anything else happens. But I don't see that in Scripture. All right? I don't see that as a thing. Even talking about the four horsemen, right, that are coming. One, he comes and speaking peace, and then there's another one that's war. After war is famine. All right, let's look at famine for a minute. All right, let's look at what's happening on the world market as far as food goes. Do you know that last year the government forced the farmers to plow under 1,600 hectares of food? Hectares. Those are big, huge places. Miles and miles and miles of edible food was forced to be plowed under. This year, they're forcing the dairy farmers, which they made all the dairy farmers expand their farms, right? And dig all these big manure barns and all that kind of stuff. Made them do all that stuff and produce more milk. Well, now they're dumping out millions and millions of gallons of milk every day. Last week, as far as the meat market goes, I believe it was 120,000 pigs were slaughtered and thrown in a ditch.
Yeah.
Okay. That's bacon, folks. I like bacon. Man, they threw away good bacon, good ham. Ham sandwiches being thrown out. All right? Listen, you don't think a famine is here? It's here. Right? You might not be thinking that it's here because you go to Walmart and you get what you want. Well, hold on. There's only 5 meat processing plants in America. 4 of them are shut down today. That means one is working at full capacity. So there's only so much frozen meat. What you going to do when there's no hamburger or chicken? Sausage links.
Manna.
Amen. We're going to have manna sandwiches. We're going to have manna cotti. Yeah, we're all going to have manna cotti. Amen. God will take care of you, no doubt. But you need to be prepared to eat squirrel. All right? Squirrel's good. It is. If you don't know how to make squirrel head soup, come talk to me. I'll show you. It's good stuff. It's easy. Stick a straw in his ear, suck his brains out. Good stuff. Sorry. See, I get this way, my flesh starts taking over.
I believe the southern part.
Amen. It's the southern. It's the southern in me coming out. Grits, things like that. Folks, I don't think we're ready. We're ready for the rapture, but we're not ready for the trouble that comes just before that happens. And I don't know if we have much time to get ready. But I do know this, God is faithful.
Amen.
Amen. He is faithful. And I do know that Jesus talked about in several of those parables that he talked about the kingdom. See, in the beginning of this year, the Lord laid on my heart that I needed to teach all of the kingdom parables. And I didn't do it fast enough because COVID-19 came and all of a sudden people weren't coming to church. Right? But now God's starting to bring the people back around. Glory to God for that. But in those parables that I studied and was teaching, I see that the kingdom, that the king went off for a time. Jesus went off. Now he's at the right hand of the Father for a time. All of those say he's coming back again and we're going to give an account. Alright? Whether you're wheat or tares, he's got a spot for you. Whether you are the sheep or the goat, he's got a spot for you. Amen. Whether you have been given a talent and you use that talent for the kingdom of God, or you took that talent and you hid it under a rock, he's got a spot for you. So what are you going to do with this Jesus as we see the day approaching? Where is the faith of the church today? I think every church across America ought to be wide open.
Amen.
Every one of them. Right? Big, small, intermediate, I don't care. If you are a body of believers, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And it's time. Many of y'all don't come to this church, right? Many of you don't. You have other bodies that you belong to, and that's okay. You need to talk to your pastor and say, we're coming to church. And if I got to break the door down to get into the church to come to church, that's what I'm going to do. If you don't want to pastor us, we will find a pastor who will. Because the pastors, the men behind the pulpit, are too afraid to proclaim the news today. I don't know what to do with that. Because I never met a pastor who was too chicken manure to do what he's called to do.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be men of fear. We're men of faith.
Amen.
Right. We're supposed to be encouraged and emboldened, especially in the times of trouble.
Amen.
Y'all ever hear of the Black Robe Regiment back in the Revolutionary War? The pastors are the one who encouraged the people to stand and fight. The pastors were the one to stand and say, this far and no further, you little English person. We're not taking it no more. Where are the pastors today? Cowering behind a microphone and a camera?
Right.
Too afraid to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord because Cuomo says you can't? It makes me angry. This is not what it's supposed to be like. Amen? Church, body of Christ, ecclesia, we must stand now or forever lay down. I don't know. Cuomo just said it's another month before we can come out of hiding. At the end of that month, he's going to say it's another month before you can come out of hiding. Once the government has their hand on your throat, they will not let go. We must, as the body of Christ, encourage each other to stand up. What are they going to do? Lock us all up? Praise God! You think I wouldn't preach this in jail? Well, I mean, what would happen? Pray, Lord, please. If Cuomo wants to send the state troopers and the National Guard and gather up the church and send us to a FEMA camp and feed us?
Yeah.
Praise God. You know what we'll do? We will gather together as the body of Christ until he does come.
Amen.
But until that day comes, I'm going to be here.
Amen.
I'm going to be here every Wednesday. I'm here every Tuesday. I'm here every day. So if they want to come get me, they know where I'm at. I ain't hiding. And I'm not afraid of what... Oh, so what? What if a man can take my life? Big deal. I fear the one not only able to take my life, but cast my soul into hell.
Right?
I would rather fear the one who made the earth, the heavens, and the stars than Cuomo or Pelosi. I ain't scared of those guys. So what? They got guns and tanks.
I have the God who created all the field and the whole universe.
And we as the church need to strengthen one another with those things. Revelation 2 and 5 says, "Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, church. Repent. Repent and do your first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy lampstick from its place, except you repent."
Amen.
And you'll be saying, "Well, I don't think the church can, they can have it." Well, Jesus said it good. Your problem's not with me, it's with him. Saul lost the Holy Spirit and didn't know it. All right? Samson and Delilah. Samson lost the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't know it. I think there have been a lot of churches that have been gathering for about 70 years that the lampstand has already been removed. And they're listening to the electric guitars and the drums and the fancy talking preachers with all of the piled high PhDs and all that garbage behind them. Strobe lights and smoke machines. But no living God. Their light has been removed and they didn't even know it. They're worshiping the things. And I know a lot of y'all listen to that K-Love crap. You know? And I mean, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. Y'all don't come here. You know, so I don't care. You know? And if you did come here, right, Dean? I still don't care. We need to get back to the basics.
Amen.
Right? Yes, sir. It's time to get the garbage cleaned off the foundation.
Amen.
We have way too long been worshiping something that is not God.
Right.
Yeah. All right? And we need to come back to the cornerstone. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. Come back to a belief that His, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through me. That God. Right? That one. Jesus, the Christ. We need to come back to knowing Him. 17, John 17, 2, Jesus' high and priestly prayer. And this is eternal life, that they know Thee, the one true God, and the Son whom Thou hast sent. Right, that's the truth.
Amen.
And we need to be holding on to the hem of that garment, right? We need to be holding on to that truth.
Right.
Anything that I've said to you today that you don't like, one is I don't care. Second is look it up, right? If I've done anything outside of the confines of this word, my door is open. Come and correct me. I can be corrected, right? I'm not saying that I know it all, because I don't. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I know He's on the way.
Right.
I don't know when this Antichrist, this little horn, is going to actually take power, but I know through the Scripture He is going to take power.
Yeah.
And when He takes power, there'll be a microchip implanted on everybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So how do you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That might be a good question, because if that's the thing that's going to divide you between light and darkness, then you might want to know that.
Yes.
Anybody here want to know that?
Yes.
You need to believe on the Lord, have faith on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You need to know that He died for your sin, just as the Scripture said, that He went to a grave, a literal grave. He literally, truthfully died for your sin. He was dead, dead as a doornail for 3 days. And God brought Him out of the dead. Amen. The tomb is empty.
Amen.
Because Jesus came from the dead. And He gave you life, and that more abundantly. He hung on the cross and He died for your miserable carcass, that you might know the one true God. He died for you while you were yet a sinner. Christ loved you. And He bought you. He brought you out of bondage. Or made a way that you could be bought out of bondage.
Yeah.
All you got to do is believe that. Amen. Enough to adjust your life to what the Bible says. Because even the demons believe.
Yeah.
James said it this way. You say that there's one God, you've done good. Good boy. Yeah, there's only one God. Even the demons believe that, and they fear and tremble. Church, when was the last time we really feared and trembled at the name of Jesus Christ? I dare say it's been too long. We've gotten into this new garbage of preaching doctrines of devils. Jesus is just all right with me. Right? Remember that song?
The Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, Doobie Brothers, right? Doobie Brothers, right? We do be brothers. I don't know how it's but. But what I'm saying, Jesus, how about you being all right with him? How about him being all right with you? If you hold iniquity in your heart, your prayers won't be heard.
Right. Amen.
And after you've accepted, asked Jesus to come in and be your Lord and Savior, then there's some work to be done. Mm-hmm. Works don't save you, but the world will know that you're saved by your works.
Amen.
And one of the first works is not to live in fear.
Amen.
And what I see in the church today, I'm ashamed of. I see a bunch of sniveling, snot-nosed, whiny, self-concerned, mealy-mouthed folks who draw near to the Lord with their mouth, but their heart is far from Him. Repent and come back before your life's taken out.
Amen.
Anyhow, as I was saying, how do you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? One, know the truth that He died for your sin and He rose from the grave, all right? Second, know that you cannot save yourself. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seek after Him. And if the Lord is piercing your heart or pricking your heart right now, know that it's God talking to you. If you're a Christian right now and you know that you're not living a life that would glorify Him and everything you say and do, then today, right now, is the time to make that squared away.
Amen.
It's time to fold your laundry if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, it's time to realize that you've never cleaned out your drawer. Right? And it's time to empty all that out before the throne room of God. Confess your sin and ask Him to fill you.
Amen.
And if you ask Him, He'll do it. Amen. Believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's faith. So it takes faith. Now,
amen.
What you do with that is between you and Him. I don't do altar calls because it ain't none of my business what you do. Now, that sounds real snotty. I can't help it. Again, I don't care. It's not that I don't care about your salvation, but what you do with that is personal. I wouldn't read your mail, right? Because it's none of my business. What you do with what I've taught you today, what I've shown you today, is between you and God. All right, and you can get saved with nobody else around.
That's right.
God will meet you where you're at. If you would ask Him, He'll infill you. He will infiltrate you. He will come, and we will make our abode with you, is what Jesus
Amen.
Said.
Bless Him.
He loves you. Mm-hmm. And He wants you to know Him. The days are short. We ain't got a lot of time. And it may be 1,000 years, all right? Because I don't know the day or the hour. But it could be just 3.5 years away. You know that? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. All right, just real quick. I promise I won't keep you more than an hour or so. So think about this real quick. Jesus talked about the... I'm going to save that for next week.
It's a cliffhanger. Alright? It's a cliffhanger.
Come next week, alright? And we'll talk more about Daniel. Alright? We'll talk about the oblation and the times. Alright? We're going to talk about some really neat stuff. We're going to talk about the rebuilding of the temple and how far along they really are.
Yeah.
Do you know that everything is ready?
Yeah.
And the sacrifices could begin. Whenever they get the okay, who's the okay coming from? Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
All the chips, the board is set. All the things are in place. There's going to come a decision. Well, I hate to talk about this, but the hour decision. Now you're listening to him on the radio? Don't. If you do, it's time to change your tune. Anyhow, I love you. I don't know how to close these things. Let me pray for you, and y'all go home, okay? Dear Father, I thank you so much. I ask even now, Father, for the words that will preach, for the understanding that it would be open. Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, anybody here that they would ask that you would touch their heart, Father. And through the authority of your word, I know you will. And Father, I pray that for those people or that person or anybody here that you would do that. Father, I ask through the power of the Holy Ghost, those who are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, but they've been ashamed of the gospel. They've been hiding in places, Lord. They haven't been seeking or desiring, or they're living with a sin, Lord, that is destroying their witness. They're actually living in blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that you would touch those hearts, that you would blow across the coals, the ashes that still remain, and that a new flame would be birthed. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would awaken us and come alive in us and embolden us and let our light so shine before the world that they see your good works and that they would glorify you. Lord, and I thank you for that. We ask those things in the name and in the power and under the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen.